Used to be people liked to come see the freaks.
Hey everybody, welcome to the newest episode of the Reddit Horror Club. Today we are picking the movie Funhouse. I can't seem to remember who picked this one. Oh, it was me.
Oh, wow.
I was torn about actually picking this the first time, but I chose to go with Dolls just because we had done two kind of serious horror films, so I wanted to do something silly. Funhouse, well, actually, I'll ask you first, Miguel. When was the first time you saw Funhouse?
Oh, I saw it, oh gosh, probably the early 90s sometime. I don't remember really the first time, because I've seen it time since. But it's been a while since I saw it, so I'll try to go with whatever I remember. But I will saying how much I appreciate Toby Hooper starting off the film with a 19-year-old Elizabeth Berridge's breasts.
Now, my memory of this movie was that I had just started getting into horror films, and the cover of the VHS tape was extremely appealing to me. It was a jack-in-the-box with a clown coming out of it with an axe and just like Funhouse. And I was like, this movie looks awesome. And I had seen like all these 3 and 3.5-star reviews on websites like Video Graveyard. So I rented it when I was spending the night at my grandparents' house, and they went to bed, and I put it on probably about like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and I couldn't have been more bored while watching this movie.
Yeah, it's definitely not one of Toby Hooper's best, but a lot of people have a lot of love for it.
Well, that's the thing. I hated it. Hated it. And then as I got older, I kept hearing how great it was, and I was like, well, maybe because I was like a young horror kid at that time, and I just wanted lots of gore and lots of story, I Netflixed it, and I immediately fell in love with it, and I actually consider it Toby Hooper's second best film now to Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Wow.
And I think what it was that I came to love the setting of the movie. He does a really good job of just developing this entire carnival.
That's true.
And, you know all of these weird characters relatively intimately throughout the film. And it is very slow paced. I don't think there's a single on-screen death until about 45 to 50 minutes into the movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it takes a long time going.
But I think that it's worth it. And I remember one of the first things that I immediately loved rewatching it is the opening credits of just these weird little puppets with the circus music playing over top of it and the credits popping up. And things like the fat lady are kind of, they don't do anything in the movie to create harm or havoc. But just their painted on faces and their robotic laughter, they constantly seem like they're mocking your main characters. I have trouble sometimes putting into words why I like this movie as much as I do. And it's definitely not something that I would normally recommend to a lot of friends because it is slow.
Yeah, I mean, I think the people who get the most out of it are the ones who have fond memories of going to similar type circuses like this one. I feel like they don't really make them like this anymore.
No, they don't. And it's definitely one of those movies, much like the original Halloween, that does show how, pacing when done right really makes for the movie to be more enjoyable, because you see the characters as more than just victim number one, victim number two, and victim number three.
Yeah, I think that was kind of that was definitely tried to be done here.
Now, I haven't read it yet, but it's actually next on my list of books to read, is Dean Koontz's adaptation of this movie into a novel. Have you read that?
No, I have not. I've only read one Dean Koontz book ever. And that was Watchers. So
it's kind of a bad one.
Yeah, that probably colored. That's probably why I never.
Yeah, it's kind of slow. It's definitely not my favorite of Dean Koontz's work.
So no, I haven't read the novelization of the Funhouse. Yeah.
Apparently,
so you'll have to let me know how it is.
Well, apparently Dean Koontz was not a fan of the movie, which is always good when someone's going in to write the novelization of something. I'm trying to think of the exact. Let me see the quote. Because he apparently expands a little bit more on the background of the killer,
mm-hmm.
And throws in a lot of like darker elements. They said, but he actually originally published it under a pseudonym because he was so embarrassed by it.
Oh wow!
So I'm interested to read it and see how bad it is. Because, I mean, Dean Koontz seems to have no problem putting his name on some pretty bad books.
That's true, yeah.
Now, like you said, what would you consider some of the better Tobe Hooper films?
Oh, I think I lost you.
What would you consider some of the better Tobe Hooper books? Or
movies?
Movies.
for
this one.
I like Life.
Life
and of course Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He hasn't yet come close to that, in my opinion.
It's funny you should even mention Life Force, because I'm not sure if you saw, but today's Greatest Movie Ever episode is about Life Force.
Oh no, I haven't. But that's very exciting.
Paul has nothing but negative things to say about that movie.
Yeah, I'm sure he does, but he has a lot of negative about a lot of movies I love, so it's pretty typical.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I keep trying to get him to do episodes in every movie I propose to him. He's like, I don't really like that film. good guy. That's all I really want to say about this movie. I do want to see what everyone else's opinion is of it, because I definitely know that this is a love it or hate it type film, I think, for most people.
I like the look of the killer. I'll say that. I think the makeup, he looked.
The makeup is very good. And like you said, there's a very nice tit shot early on, and there's a very creepy aspect of the little brother spying on his
so creepy. It's what the hell? I don't know anyone who really had that experience. At least I hope not.
No, I don't think anybody did. do you have any plugs?
Yeah, actually, just go to monsterresort.org. I'm beginning to update the episodes on a weekly basis once again. When is this episode? Monday? Tomorrow?
This is going to probably go up in about 15-20 minutes.
Oh, holy shit. Okay. Well, in that case, later tonight, I'll have an interview with Zach Green, who is the producer and one of the heads of an indie production company from Toronto called Fatal Pictures. And they have their latest short film. It's called Familiar. Has been it showed at Horrible Imaginings, first of all, and it's just been getting rave reviews from anyone who's seen it. It's a really great short film, and pretty soon it's going to be available, you know, on video on demand and fearnet.com and things like that. So anyone who's willing to or anyone who's curious about seeing a brand new super independent yet really well done professional looking body horror short should listen to that episode, see what they have to say, and check out their movie. And of course, the episode that I put up last week is going really strong. One of my, you know, most downloaded yet, which is my interview with Kristen Risk from American Mary, where we talk about, you know, sex and violence in Mary. So both of those are online, as well, of course, all my archived episodes over at monsterislandresort.org.
And I just want to throw out two quick plugs. I had an article on Geekscape this week that did insanely well about the 20-year anniversary of Muppet's Christmas Carol that happened this week.
Yeah.
Which, you know, made tons of people on the internet feel old. And also, I have a very short episode of the St. Mort Show that I just put up maybe an hour ago, where I interviewed a band from Lancaster called Kingsfoil. Chances are you're going, why should I care about a band called Kingsfoil? They're an all right band, but their drummer is a little former child actor named Frankie Muniz. And they were just very funny, down-to-earth guys. Our interview got cut short when a hardcore band started playing, because we were backstage at a local show, and backstage literally means the little room where all the bands had stored their shit. So as soon as the band started playing, you could hear it. Right. And so the interview is only about 20 minutes. We probably could have gone an hour. We were talking Hobbit and Pie. Ironically, I had Frankie Muniz on the podcast and never once mentioned any of the things that Frankie Muniz did as an actor. So,
wow, there you go. Cool. No Malcolm.
I would like to get him on by himself one day. But,
no, what was it? Ian, the gaming movie. Gamer?
No, Stay Alive.
That's it, Stay Alive. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I felt like it would have been inappropriate to just interview him about his career with the other three bandmates sitting around, so I was like, I'm not going to do that. I'm sure they have that happen too much in interviews already.
Yeah, you made the right decision, I think.
All right, well, next week on Christmas Eve, we will have an episode where we are going to be discussing the legendary, the important, and the fantastic, picked by Ichabod Guitar, Gremlins. And now, for those of you who have lived under a rock, the trailer for Gremlins.
Steven Spielberg presents Gremlins. Billy Pelser has a nice home.
Billy, is that you?
Yeah, Mom, it's me.
A nice job. A nice girl.
If you're not doing anything this Thursday night, maybe you'd like to go out on a date with me?
I'd love to.
And loving parents who are about to give him...
You're going to like this. No, don't shake it. We're going to have to open it now. It won't wait till Christmas.
The most unusual gift he ever got.
What is it? No.
It's your new pet.
Come on, Barney, be a good dog. My dad gave it to me.
But there are a few things to keep in mind. If you expose it to the light, you may hurt it. If you get it wet, it will multiply.
All that from water? They got wet?
Yeah, plain water.
And most important, no matter how much they beg, never, never let them eat after midnight. Because when they do, they change.
Rafe.
They become clever. Mischievous.
What's going on here?
And dangerous.
Gremlins, eh? Little monsters.
Right.
Hundreds of them.
Well, I don't know, maybe thousands.
They've been here too. Billy, what are these things? Where do they come from?
Look, I know it sounds crazy, I know. But in a few hours, you're gonna have a major disaster on your hands.
Gremlins, directed by Joe Dante. They'll be expecting you.